Good afternoon. Today is Monday, November the 3rd, the day before elections.
November 4th.
Yeah. Oh, good. Glad to see that we've got Captain Obvious with us. Is that the name of the?
Yeah.
I think that's the name of the. Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I guess I have to upgrade Chief Obvious.
Well, no, Captain Obvious. Yeah. Fine.
Andy Mills is alongside. So it sounds like you've been kind of halfway busy in the last little bit.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Good. Well, we'll talk about what's keeping him up late at night when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Fred Couples. Now, I know that there's... Boy, I could spin this and really make your life rough.
Please don't. It's rough enough.
I don't think I will. But I'm trying to figure out how I can swing this one. Oh, well, I'll just read it. Fred Couples, quote... As far as swinging techniques are concerned, I don't know diddly squat. When I'm playing well, I don't even take aim. Yeah, isn't that the truth? You get in that zone, yeah. Whatever that zone is, and things just happen. Is there a zone for you guys? I mean, not busting the bad guys, but when things are starting to happen and you're on a roll, however you define on a roll, if it's getting projects done, acceptance of things, whatever it might happen to be, is there a zone that you can hit?
Well, I think every profession, whether it's radio or policing, you kind of get into that groove where you're comfortable and things are happening, and I think that that's a powerful place to be. You know, I heard one person describe it as the death cycle. There's birth, growth, plateau, and death. And I would like to think that we're in the birth part of that cycle right now, where we're just beginning to grow. And as you know, and we are going to promote two captains and then two sergeants. And I think that that's really putting us into a position where we can accelerate the growth and help us to turn a corner and work with the community and be transparent and do control crime and do some of the things we really need to do. And I've got, I think, a good group of people who are just ready to take off.
When you say growth, okay, you got the anti-government guys all of a sudden going, yeah, see?
Yeah, yeah.
They're bloated.
Yeah, what, does he want another tank?
Yeah. Say.
Don't get going.
How about a D8 cat? Would that come in handy every once in a while?
Yeah, it could.
Yeah, I thought that might. But to work with, and it's kind of like, for me, I see police kind of as management.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't force it. You can't really control it. You can work with it and perhaps guide it, but control, no, you can't. So as you're trying to make it tougher for the bad guys in our area, how do you work with the citizenry to help control it, to direct it, so that we are assisting, possibly enabling, rather than getting in the way, or worse?
Funny you should ask that question. How insightful, because we are just...
I hate stepping in mud puddles that I don't see. Okay, what'd I do?
Well, we are in the process of trying to do just that, help the community to control some of this stuff. You know, the police are the community are the police. The police are only those members of the community who are given salary to work with higher end stuff. It's just a Robert Peel quote, which I just completely botched, by the way.
Yeah, I noticed that. I don't think it would have been written down if it was presented quite that way. Yeah,
probably not. Certainly not remembered. But the point it takes all of us working together to get to that growth plateau where we're controlling crime, we're controlling disorder and chaos in the community. So last week we sent five or six PSOs, public safety officers, into neighborhoods where we're having high burglary rate problems and high theft problems, going door to door, knocking on doors, handing out crime prevention materials, talking with people how they can batten down the hatch, and what we can do to try to reduce the opportunity of theft in those communities. Very different than just going and arresting bad guys. And so, and the response we got from the community was, thank you so much. For instance, Brittany Kesterson went to one door, knocked on the door. Her name's Powell now. She's got married. Knocked on the door and said, hey, I'd like to talk to you about crime prevention stuff. And the lady said, oh, yeah, sure, come on in. Well, as she's talking to the lady, the door was unlocked, and the lady's purse was sitting literally right next to the door. Now, all you have to do is put the latch on lock, and your purse is a lot more secure. And so she pointed out some of those things, went to other homes where they had bushes that were completely overgrown. You couldn't see the house, and talked about cutting them back. So
they weren't growing, were they?
No, they weren't. Those kind of bushes.
Okay.
And cutting them back so that people can see into the front yard for natural surveillance. So I think there's a lot of things we can do working with community members to control the opportunity for crime. And that's the next step, and that's the exciting part, the growth part, where I think that we can really have an impact.
What percentage of Eureka is landlord-owned or tenant-rent versus owner-occupied?
I was told a quarter of Eureka are apartments or houses that are owned by someone else. Now, I have not been able to verify that at this point, but if you have 25% or more of your city that are rentals, that certainly adds to the principle that no one paints a rented house. And so therefore, we really want to work with them also, because people will protect their own property, though.
That's where I was going. There's a number of homes, I think, in any neighborhood you see, and the curtains are always drawn.
Right.
Okay, and the front yard always looks a little rough.
And it stinks around November.
Well, not even that necessary. I mean, if you're driving by.
Yeah.
But you make those suppositions.
Right.
And I would think that would be something that would be a challenge also, is if you had high rental numbers.
There are high rental numbers here.
KINS, thanks for the conciseness. It's 319. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. So you've had, 2 weeks with the shopping cart ordinance under your belt?
We have.
I've not seen any rodeos in town. Are we not lassoing yet?
We're not. And here's why. We are in the process of trying to get a vendor. And if there's anybody out there that would like to do that, here's an opportunity to create a business. And to pick up these shopping carts all over town and charge the companies who the carts belong to. There's provision in the ordinance for that. So we're trying to get that in place, because what I don't want to do is start lassoing all these shopping carts to poles all over town, and then now we have shopping carts all over town lassoed to poles. And we're pretty close on that. I think that Eddie Wilson, one of our officers on light duty, is doing a great job putting this together. And within a couple weeks, we should have something in place where we can now systematically start picking up these carts from all over town and getting them back to the rightful owners.
So I know you like role playing.
I do.
So how does this...
That was a question. That wasn't us.
Yeah. How does this play out? What do you think will happen in the first week and then at the end of the first month? A bunch of people without carts, or do you think that there's going to be a shift and change?
I think two things are going to happen. One, it's going to be a little bit of a wake-up call for many, where they're going to say, wow, I can't have this cart, and I just got arrested for it. And then for others, they're going to find a way to displace their activity from shopping carts to something else, whether they're bicycles with big baskets or what we're beginning to see is baby buggies.
That's what I was seeing, the shopping or the strollers.
Strollers. We're starting to see strollers now with stuff in them. But they're harder to come by. There's not the availability isn't there. And if we can show that they're stolen, we'll take them anyway. If we can't show they're stolen, then they're going to – they have the right to have their carts, obviously. There are a couple of places along the 101 that sell used baby strollers, and we're going to talk with them and say, hey, please don't sell these to people other than families.
Well, are there that many of them?
Oh, yeah. They have a whole gaggle of them out front.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I probably wouldn't take a rocket scientist to be able to get a couple of bungee cords, strap a couple of things together, and have something with wheels.
Yeah.
Trying to cross the street after dark.
Yeah.
Daylight savings time, not to break the news to you, but is in effect, or is now gone, right? So we're back to standard time. What does that do to you guys tonight, tomorrow?
Doesn't have a lot of effect other than on those who cross the street in dark clothing. During the hours of darkness.
Oh, you mean like police officers?
Yeah, exactly. I've got a shiny little badge for that.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, sorry. But and your pearlies, don't forget that.
Yeah, and smile big and just let them see the whites of your eyes while you're, Like this morning I talked to a guy that was cutting across the street in darkness and said, what are you thinking? And he goes, well, I watch for traffic. I said, obviously not well enough. And so we, it is problematic and we want to make sure that people don't get picked off by cars.
Sometimes when it gets chill, I know you haven't experienced it yet. They've got the shelters,
yes,
the emergency shelter ordinance.
I met on that this morning with those folks.
That's two mud puddles I've stepped in. This really is not a good show so far.
And we didn't even plan that.
No, this is like tacky almost.
Great minds.
Yeah, feeble minds. Yeah.
Now I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. Where will that be located this year? And I'm wondering, is that going to complement your efforts or is that going to complicate your efforts with the shopping cart ordinance and some of the other things?
It's going to be at St. Vincent de Paul's again, down on 3rd Street. And it complements our efforts because we have to treat people humanely. If it's 13 degrees and not that it gets here that, gets that cold here very often. But if it's cold and rainy and I don't want people being dying of exposure or being injured. So we would like to see people have some place to sleep at night where they're not going to freeze to death.
So what kind of preparations do you do for that or can you?
The preparations have been taking place to make sure that there's cots available, that there's bedding available, that there's super adequate supervision. Steve Bell is the one supervising. He does a fantastic job, as well as Eureka Main Street and St. Vincent de Paul and Betty and Rescue Mission all work together and collaborate on this. The Rescue Mission opens up additional beds and reduces their requirements, so that they can just get people in and make sure that they're safe. I tell you, it's truly impressive here in Eureka, all the people that genuinely care for others. I mean, they give of their own time, effort, and money and resources. And it's impressive.
You surprised by that?
I am a little bit. Because I think that there's a thing called compassion fatigue, that people fatigue from being compassionate, but I don't see it here.
Oh, where's that commercial break when I need it? Your timing is really poor this time, by the way. You went so good, and then you just crashed and burned.
Yeah. Well, do you see it?
See, I have a tough time separating seeing it from feeling it.
Well, agree.
Internalizing this stuff. Everybody says that, but when you're local and you grew up here, I mean, it's like, no, that's normal.
Yeah.
So it's more of the absence in other markets or communities rather than the presence of it being here. But the coordination is certainly something that hasn't happened historically in the past.
Right.
What I'm curious about is with all the additional population count in the last couple of weeks and the fact that now Fortuna has some and Arcata does also, is there an effort to bring everything together or is it to keep everybody in their communities?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
Now, finally, I avoid the mud puddle as we go to break. It's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4th. No, it's not. It's 3:35. Can't even keep my digits together.
Daylight savings time.
Touche, baby. Joining us this afternoon is Andy Mills, Eureka Police Chief. The challenge is going into the winter time, the winter season, if you will. Yeah, we're pretty mild here. Not as mild as some climates, but that's okay. Do you see anything, any difference in what you look for from the troops during the non-tourist season, so to speak?
There are some things that come along with weather and time of day and season that we pay attention to. So, for instance, on weather, when it's raining, we know that we're going to get an increase in accidents. And so I would like them to position themselves where we can prevent accidents if possible. So if we get a bunch of accidents at 7th and H, then let's monitor 7th and H. If they're, you know, if people are going down the hill when it's cold over at Fair by Lombard Hills and are getting in crashes, then let's get over there and see what we can do and affect the road conditions if we can. It's interesting, seasonally, nationwide, we tend to get more crime in certain areas. For instance, Christmas time, any shock to anybody, we get more thefts. People are stealing out of cars, and so we really want to educate people to take their stuff, put it in the trunks, hide it so it can't be seen in the back of cars, or not leave it in the cars, carry it around. So there are other things that we can do to affect the crime. We also see, tragically enough, that when children are around intoxicated adults, sometimes we get child abuse. And that is something we kind of pay attention to also.
With the statistical analysis that you've been having done in Eureka, do you see that here?
Not as much at this point. I haven't had, I haven't had the opportunity to take a look at that data yet because our system literally still cannot pull it out. We're in the process of we just purchased the new records management system. We're inking the contracts right now. We're just going back and forth on the language and the contracts. And hopefully within 8 months, we'll have that thing completely up and running, which we will be able to extract this data.
I know it sounds kind of callous. No, it is callous.
Shocking coming from you.
Well, yeah. With the recognition?
Yeah, callousness.
What is the cost to the city, dollars and cents,
yeah,
of a rape, of a homicide, of a burglary,
oh,
of an abusive situation? Are there dollars that you can put to the average, quote unquote, and kind of show prevention not only saves the situation itself,
yeah,
but it also saves other things as well?
Yeah, there, it's a huge cost. A homicide, for instance, we're going to have people working around the clock for literally days. That's all overtime. We don't have enough bodies to come in and start relieving people, so we're going to have people come in, secure the crime scene, do witness checks, collect evidence, go door to door, writing paper, writing search warrants, going to the courts. It's a very complex deal that you're spending a lot of money on. You know, there was one piece of research done, I think it was out of Los Angeles, that the average homicide cost the taxpayers $2 million. By the time you talk about coroner's office, medical, ambulances, police, fire, loss of wages, loss of income, loss of taxes, and so forth. I mean, so, you know, yes, we don't have that many, but even assault with deadly weapons, robberies, it's still costing us a great deal of money. So the more you can control crime, obviously, it's a soft cost from the standpoint that we're still going to have our police officers here. But if you can drive that level of those levels of calls down, it's going to give you a greater cost savings and then redeploy your people to be more proactive.
The information that your folks were taking out into the neighborhoods last week.
Yes.
Did it include things like pay attention to your surroundings, things of that nature that are outside the house, or were these all focused more on the house and the immediate property and the surrounding around that house?
Both. And I think that both is really important. Not only should you look at your own house and say, how can I harden this target, make it more difficult to do and increase the risk for the person trying to break in to my home, but we also talk about what's called collective efficacy. In other words, working together in a community and looking out for one another in a real way. And when you do that, that's been the lowest correlation of crime. It lowers crime by looking out for one another. And I'm not talking just about the old average neighborhood watch where you slap up a sign in the neighborhood. I'm talking about where you actively look out for your neighbor, and that increase in civility is associated with a decrease in crime.
So if somebody's in the neighborhood, you engage?
Oh, absolutely.
Rather than just stand and watch?
Yeah, I mean, let me watch this guy, see if he breaks into my neighbor's house. How about walking out to the guy and saying, hey, good morning, what can I help you with? I haven't seen you in our neighborhood before. Are you new? I'm not saying confront people negatively, but do it in a positive way. And then if you don't get the right answers, do call us.
What if you're in an area that isn't a neighborhood? One of the weird things about Eureka that has been pointed out to me, because I'm blind to some of this stuff, is that we really don't have neighborhoods. We have three or four homes that were built about the same time. And then we got another three or four that are a little bit different and different age. There's not the cul-de-sac concept that a lot of communities have. Everything's going to somewhere else. Does that make it more challenging for this kind of an outreach, paying attention to what's going on? Because, you know, if the car's driving by at 30 and keeps driving,
yeah,
you know, you don't have a lot of chance to engage.
Yeah, it can be a little bit more different, but you still have the same problems in other cities, you know, around the country. When I was the captain in Western Division, you'll have areas that are 70 blocks, and it's just all one block right after another. And
just a grid layout?
Yeah, just a grid layout. And so you don't have the opportunity for the cul-de-sac kind of neighborhood where, you know, you're looking across the street at your neighbor, everybody knows each other's business. But, you know, one of the things we found is that when you remove the anonymity from the crooks, that's when neighbors get to know one another. So one of the things that you could do, for instance, just have a barbecue out in the middle of the street and invite all the neighbors, identify who everybody is, so that when
any law enforcement guys that pull up are immediately invited as well.
Of course, yeah, okay. You know, you got to have an extra hot dog for the local popo. You know, those are the kind of things I think that's how you increase the knowledge base, and that makes the neighborhood. When we went to neighborhoods and asked them around Eureka, tell us, define your neighborhood for us. They defined a lot of neighborhoods. The zoo area, West Harris, the west side. Even, you know, your part of town has a distinct neighborhood, the Cooper's Gulch area. So I think, you know, kind of...
Even the part that we live in.
Even the part
that even we live the in. Part, okay.
The upper crust, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll go with crust. I'm not sure about upper, dude. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:44. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:47. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Andy, as you are looking ahead, certainly the budget is one challenge. The culture is another challenge. The city is one. You got the little bit of the interface, if you will, with the county. Which of those is going the smoothest for you?
Boy, That's a tough question. Thanks for throwing me a curveball. I'm going to jack it out of the park since this is baseball season. I think internally.
Just because he's a week late, we won't worry about that.
I'm not a baseball
Charger fan.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
yeah.
That hurt.
I think jacking out of the ballpark, here's your pass.
Well, yeah, this is my one chance to see a Charger football game, and they cut it off because they were so awful. But, you know, I think internally we're making some great progress in altering the culture. And helping people understand how we believe we need to treat people. And I believe that you treat people with, if you give respect, you get respect. And I want us to be respectful to our neighbors, to our citizens, to those that maybe even don't deserve it. But at the same time, when an officer tells you to do something, I think that they also get that I support them 100% and that there are awful people out there, some, a few, that need to be controlled, and we're here to do that.
Dialogue isn't necessarily the end game of discussion.
Not for everybody, you know. But at the same time, last week I heard the director of the FBI speak, and he did. He's a really sharp guy. Did a great job, and he was talking about we lie to our children. We tell them, you know, go to sleep, Johnny. There's no boogeyman. You know, I'm here with you. And we were talking about terrorism, and he said, you know what, there are bad people. There's transnational organized crime. There's cartels. There's this, there's that. And so we have to be realistic that comes a time when you have to do certain things.
You didn't raise your hand and say, yeah, I know, I deal with them each week. Where are you from?
All the way from
Humboldt County. Yeah. Okay, now, geez, you ought to be up here, sir.
Yeah. Can I say one thing before you close out?
Sure.
Okay. We just had our promotional process, which you're painfully aware of, and I just really wanted to thank you because you sat on it with the sergeants and were able to listen to a lot of people give you their spiel, and it turned out perfectly. I think we got a great pool because of people like you, and so thank you so much for taking the time to come over and sit down with us.
Was it a shallow pool, or was I at the deep end? Time will tell, won't it?
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, okay.
I'm blaming it on you, too.
Thanks for coming by. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day.